We'll explore the changing relationship children have had with the natural world during this hour with the author of The Nature of Childhood. And we'll wonder why there isn't much nature in The Nature of Childhood. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 9 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, April 30th. The kids of yesteryear practically spent all day outside. You probably did. When and why did that change, and do you think it's a problem? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Pamela Riney Kerberg, professor and chair of the history department at Iowa State University. Her most recent book is The Nature of Childhood, An Environmental History of Growing Up in America Since 1865. Good morning.
Good morning.
So you start the book with a post-Civil War and the relationship between children and the outdoors after the Civil War. What did the relationship look like then?
Well, most of these kids were farm kids, and they spent a huge amount of their time outdoors. And their relationship with nature wasn't always a positive one. Sometimes it was springtime and flowers and just enjoying being out in the clean air, but it also meant hard work in poor conditions and sometimes being threatened by that natural world they were so much in contact with.
Yeah, I guess there's nothing fun about baling hay.
No, nothing fun about baling hay, nothing fun about picking corn when your hands are numb. But the thing to remember about that is that it was simply a fact of life that people lived a lot closer to the elements than we do today. Mm-hmm. Their whole lives were dictated by the elements.
Yeah, so what kids are we talking about, urban, rural, or both?
Well, we're talking about largely farm kids at the beginning of the book, but urban children also lived pretty close to nature, too. Well, pretty close to the environment. They also lived in homes often that didn't have central heating. They had their bathrooms outside. They also played outside. Their homes, urban children, say, in 1900, often lived in very, very tiny spaces. And their mothers also sent them out to play, even if out to play was in the street.
Mm-hmm. And the relationship between children and nature also seems to be the relationship between parents in nature, since parents allow their kids to spend time outside. What forces have affected parental attitudes over time?
Well, for a long time, the parental attitude was that children needed to be outside, or that they were so constricted inside that it was no more dangerous outside than it was inside. When you think about, say, homes in the 1880s, there was always boiling water, there was always a hot stove, very, very cramped spaces. And it might be just as safe to send kids outside as to keep them inside. What begins to change over time is that the technology outside, things like automobiles, become more of a threat to children, and the threats outside begin to grow.
Mm-hmm. Yet still, I'm thinking back to my childhood. There are plenty of automobiles around, but my mom was always saying, get outside and play.
That's right. For most of us who grew up before, say, the mid to late 1980s, being outside was just a normal part, an everyday part of being children. Our parents generally set boundaries and let us know what we could and could not do outside, but they trusted that when we were outside, we would follow the rules and keep ourselves safe.
Mm-hmm. What changed?
Well, a lot of things change in the late 70s to the middle of the 1980s. One of the things that changes is our awareness of really severe dangers to children. There are a couple of very well-publicized abductions of children, disappearances of children. They get spread throughout the national media. There also is the beginning of the milk carton campaigns, which began in Iowa with the disappearance of Johnny Gosch, who was a newspaper boy in Des Moines. So there's this knowledge of these very aberrant, very scary situations. And at the same time, the technology of the indoors is changing. It happens at about the same time as we get MTV, video games, home computers.
And the kids want to stay in and play on those rather than go outside.
That's right. And the indoors environment gets more pleasant about this time. Houses get much bigger, so children can actually have private space in homes. And air conditioning becomes much more common.
It's more comfortable indoors.
That's right. Prior to air conditioning, kids wanted to be outside in the summer because, frankly, indoors was not all that pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
It was hot, uncomfortable, sticky. And once the air conditioning comes along, it's much more pleasant to be indoors.
Yeah.
So there's a number of different factors that come together in the late 70s, early 1980s, that both push and pull kids inside.
So what relationship do kids have with the outdoors now? Do we know, do they really have a nature deficit disorder because they don't spend hardly any time outside?
Well, the number of hours that children spend outdoors has fallen significantly in the last three decades, to the point where the average child spends almost no unsupervised time outdoors today. They may spend a fair amount of supervised time outdoors doing things like playing soccer or Little League baseball, but they spend very little time doing unsupervised things like climbing trees.
Yeah. Is that a problem? Is that considered a problem?
There are a number of educators who think that's a problem. There are also scientists who think that's a problem, and not for the obvious reasons. There are scientists like a man named Richard Pyle who believe that if children aren't familiar with the world around them, then they are not going to have an attachment to it and are not going to want to protect it as adults.
We are talking about the relationship children have with nature and wondering if you think that it is a problem that our children today hardly spend any unsupervised time outdoors. And we'll talk about whether or not that might change in the future. And welcoming your questions for our guest. She is the author of The Nature of Childhood, An Environmental History of Growing Up in America Since 1865. Pamela Riney Kerberg, professor and chair of the history department at Iowa State University. 1-800-642-1234 if you'd like to join in, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine with John Munson, and this is the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Membership Drive. We are here to raise money that pays for the programs that you enjoy. Programs like this one. Give your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Good morning, Joy, and good news to start our hour this day. We have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $3,000.
I love dollar-for-dollar matches.
Me too.
This generous match is from Gene and Joe Silverberg and an anonymous donor, and it means that they are going to match every dollar you give starting now. It's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio.
So pledge one, get one. Get your pledge doubled right now. What a great opportunity to start your Wednesday morning. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Every day, our team works really hard to bring you a great morning of radio, and that's really a pleasure. It's a privilege to do this every morning. We know you're curious and intelligent. We also know that you like to have fun and enjoy all that Wisconsin has to offer.
Well, thank thank you for being such a great audience and for being the reason that we do what we do. And, well, you know, you can give us one more thing, your financial support, because your support is what makes these mornings possible. So give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It is super easy to give to Wisconsin Public Radio. All we need is your name, some contact information, the amount of your pledge, and how you'd like to pay for it.
Hey, how about making a one-time gift? Or, better yet, start automatic sustaining donations directly from your bank account. Here's the thing. You choose how to give, and then you do it at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And we do have a goal of 30 pledges during this hour. Two are in so far. Thank you so much. And remember, we have that dollar-for-dollar match going on right now, up to $3,000. You can double your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now when we travel, I've got WPR's app for the iPhone. We listen to WPR all the time. We're driving 14, 15 hours a day sometimes, all across the country. This station has by far the best programming of any public radio station I've found anywhere in the country. This is prime programming. People should know that. People should be aware of it. People should know that there's something really intelligent happening right here in our midst. When we gave annually, you got a good feeling when you wrote the check. Now, as a sustainer, I'm reminded monthly. It does make you feel a bit more a part of the process, more a part of the entire effort to put intelligent programming on the air. We like the idea that we're putting our money where our values are. I'm Bruce from Brookfield, Wisconsin. Join me as a sustainer of Wisconsin Public Radio.
You can join Bruce, thank you, Bruce, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Joy Cardine with John Munson asking for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio during this spring pledge drive. Maybe your gift is $10 a month or $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, you can count on information, entertainment, and great discussion, and that's why you listen to WPR. You make Wisconsin a better place just by listening and being a more well-rounded person.
You're a listener. Now take the next step and become a member. Your first ever donation of, say, $5 a month makes Wisconsin a place where great radio is available to everyone. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, WPR has been around for a long time, and one of the reasons is because we're committed to quality. That quality is possible thanks to you. Listener donations make up the single largest piece of our budget.
Your contribution makes this program possible and so many other programs as well. You're part of the quality that you hear every day on WPR when you donate at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And in case you just joined us, we have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $3,000. That's in effect right now. It's a great time to pledge because for every dollar you give, Gene and Joe Silverberg and an anonymous donor will donate an additional dollar. So that's their way of inspiring you to support WPR just like they do. So double the impact of your pledge right now. Pledge one, get one by giving at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You know, Wisconsin Public Radio works on the honor system. You don't have to pay for it, but the whole thing works because you do choose to support it. How about a pledge right now of $10 a month?
Well, you know, that's so true, Joy. It's kind of like if you went to the movies and you didn't pay when you went in. You paid on the way out based on, you know, well, was it a good movie? Did I like it? You know, and then you gave whatever you thought was fair. Well, that's kind of how public radio works. You decide the amount, and then you go to WPR.org or you call us, 888-202-2552. Your gift supports the programs you hear every day.
We still have that dollar-for-dollar match in effect. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. 202-2552, and your support of WPR goes twice as far.
But wait, there's more.
I love it when there's more.
For your pledge of just $12.50 a month, that's $150 or more, we have a limited edition. In fact, I'm so excited I can't even say limited edition coffee mug, and it's only available with a pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I love this mug, and I think during the news break coming up, I'm going to go make my pledge of $150, $12.50 a month, so I can get the artist mug, which has all sorts of animals on it. It has animals going about their day, and I like the cat listening to the radio in the attic. I think that's it.
You can see a picture of it if you go to WPR.org, and it's cute. It'll look great on your desk, and I'm sure your coffee or tea or whatever you put in it will taste twice as good.
And your dollars will go twice as far with that dollar-for-dollar match right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thanks very much, John. We'll talk to you later. Let's get back to our discussion about nature and childhood with our guest, professor and chair of the history department at Iowa State University, Pamela Riney-Kerberg. Her most recent book is The Nature of Childhood, an environmental history of growing up in America since 1865. You know, we have a couple of listeners on Facebook who say... Brad says on Facebook, video games, computers, and paranoid parents are the reasons why kids don't get outdoors anymore. Just to kind of recap, Pamela, that's part of the reason?
Yep, that's pretty much the whole complex of changes that we saw happening in the late 1970s, early 1980s, that really tended to both push and pull kids inside.
Yeah, and Are we concluding that parents truly were paranoid, that the danger of going outside really wasn't there?
Not that it was completely absent. It's just that it got far overblown, and there were really horrendous untrue statistics being published about what the danger of being abducted and killed was. Also, when you look at the real dangers to children in terms of accidental death, it's far more dangerous. You're far more likely to be killed or injured in an automobile or at the swimming pool than by some unknown stranger who's going to, you know, abduct you off the street.
Yeah. We talked a little bit about how kids still get outside, but it's usually supervised, like at a Little League game or a soccer practice or something along those lines. What's so beneficial of the so-called free-range child who can be just outside, catching tadpoles as opposed to being supervised by parents?
Well, the educators and the psychologists who've looked at this think that kind of unsupervised free play in the outdoors is actually very beneficial to children in terms of developing their imagination, their independence, their curiosity, all sorts of things that you don't necessarily get while playing on a soccer field being watched by mom and dad.
Mm-hmm. Some have linked kids being indoors with the obesity epidemic. Do you think that's a fair correlation?
Well, I'm not an expert on that, but I would say that childhood obesity rates have gone up in that same time period and gone up significantly.
Yeah. Well, what efforts have been made to get kids outside more?
Oh, there's a whole range of them. There is the No Child Left Inside movement, led by a man named Richard Louv, which is an attempt to get children out and playing and to encourage children to learn the proper uses or the free use of the outdoors. There is something called the Children and Nature Network, which is encouraging outdoor independent activity by children all across the country. A number of states have also adopted what are called Children's Outdoor Bill of Rights, which usually have, 10 items on them encouraging children to be able to go outside and play, to go outside and camp. In some states, they say children should have the right to catch a fish, should have the right to have their own place to grow something. There's a lot of concerned adults out there.
Just a minute before our news break, but have these efforts proven successful at all?
Well, it's a little early to say, but as far as I can tell, there's not a whole lot more kids outdoors now than there were, you know, 5 to 10 years ago when this real concern began.
Well, let's ask our listeners. Are you a parent with children who like to go outside, or do you keep them indoors more than you think you should? Do you think this is a problem? Do you try to encourage your kids to go outside, unsupervised time outside? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We'll talk about what the future might hold when it comes to children and the outdoors and their relationship with nature, as we continue talking with Pamela Riney Kerberg, who is the author of The Nature of Childhood, an environmental history of growing up in America since 1865. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We'll continue our discussion on the changing relationship between children and nature in just a few moments, but we are in our spring membership drive, and your support is the foundation of our budget. It's what makes Wisconsin Public Radio your go-to place for great programs. John Munson joins me to encourage you to go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 right now to make your gift in support of the programs you count on.
And Joy, we still have that dollar-for-dollar match up to $3,000 in effect right now. So it's a great time to pledge, because for every dollar you give, Jane and Joe Silverberg and an anonymous donor will donate an additional dollar. It's like having your cake and eating it too. It's their way of inspiring you to support WPR. So double the impact of your pledge right now, like Pledge One, Get One, by giving at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You know, when it comes to the Ideas Network, the expression, talk is cheap, does not hold true.
Mm-mm.
First of all, on the Ideas Network, you'll get high-quality, in-depth conversations.
And second, these great conversations aren't free. It takes a lot of resources to get all these discussions on the air.
And that's where you come in. You enjoy all of the high-quality talk, and you support it by making your contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, and it's easy to support Wisconsin Public Radio, and really the easiest way is to become a sustainer. A sustaining membership is one that's ongoing, either from your bank account or a credit or debit card.
Because it automatically renews, you don't have to remember to renew every year. Some people give $5 a month. Many give $15 or $20. The idea is to pick the amount that works for you. Set it up at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Then sit back and enjoy the ease and convenience of supporting great radio.
You know, when you make your pledge, you know that you can count on getting reliability and value in return for your investment in WPR. We're reliable. We've been here for decades, and there's no end in sight.
And we're a great value. You can turn on the radio at any hour of the day or night and hear something interesting and learn something new.
And you get to decide how much you pay. So, please invest in this great service right now, especially when we have this dollar-for-dollar match up to $3,000, by choosing the amount you want to give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I listen to all kinds of topics. Every topic you can think of, I'm very interested in. It could be history, could be writing, could be health, could be politics, art, creativity. I'm interested in everything. And what I really love is the call-ins, questions, and comments, because you really do feel like you're part of a community of learners. I just think it's great. You feel like you're really going to school when you're driving in your car. You can be multitasking. You can be doing the dishes, folding laundry, and still be part of a community of people who really value knowledge. I'm Diane Ryan from Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for connecting with the greater Wisconsin community.
Make your donation in support of the programs you count on. become a member of this community of learners at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Joy Cardine with John Munson, asking for your gift to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. Whether your pledge is $5 a month or $100 a month, we appreciate and count on every contribution.
And we have that dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now from Gene and Joe Silverberg and an anonymous donor. So here's how this works. Your gift of $50 turns into $100. $100 turns into $200. Oh, don't make me do any more math. Take advantage of this match. Double your support for Wisconsin Public Radio programs when you give right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Your pledge right now says, I value this program. I want more of it. It makes me think. It makes me laugh. You fill in the blank how you feel when you hear all the great guests and so many topics on this show every morning. They're powerful feelings, and you make a powerful statement when you support what you value, what you believe in. Give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, we still have that dollar-for-dollar match in effect. We've got about half of it left on the table, so this is a great chance for you to give now and get your pledge doubled at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your support for WPR goes twice as far.
And you can also ask for the artist mug with your pledge of $150 or more. That's a $12.50 a month contribution. It's a limited edition mug. It's available only with a pledge. You can see a picture of this fun mug with all sorts of animals listening to the radio at WPR.org. Make your pledge there while you're at it, or 888-202-2552.
Hey, and after you pledge, and eventually when you get your mug, you should take a picture of yourself drinking coffee out of it and post it on Facebook so we can all see it. I think that'd be a great idea.
It would be.
Well, you know what? If you're already a sustainer, why not become one right now and pledge at $150 or more and get the mug too? It's easy to set up convenient ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
All right. Thank you very much, John. Let's get back to our conversation about kids and nature, children and nature. Have children today become too separated from the natural world? Why don't they go outside and play anymore? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking with the author of The Nature of Childhood, which explores the history of children and nature and their relationship with nature. And we are wondering what happened, and can we ever get that era back when kids were playing outside unsupervised much of the time. You can join us on air with your thoughts and questions. Do you think this is a problem? Was your childhood spent mostly outdoors? Do you try to encourage your children to go outside? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk at WPR.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Pamela Reine-Kerberg. She is a professor and chair in the history department at Iowa State University. Her most recent book is The Nature of Childhood, An Environmental History of Growing Up in America Since 1865. Pamela, what was your childhood like when it comes to getting outside and your relationship with nature?
Well, it was wonderful. I grew up in a suburb of Denver and grew up right across the street from what's called the Highline Canal. And the Highline Canal was essentially an irrigation ditch that connected the Platte River to farms on the eastern plains in Colorado, and sometimes it ran full of water, but most of the year it didn't, and we played in the canal on a regular basis and let our imaginations run wild.
Yeah, and I do remember collecting tadpoles and the woods and fields. We had this field just less than a block from my home in, you know, small city, Appleton, Wisconsin. But we were outdoors all the time, and it was one of those childhoods where, you know, you had to go home when the street lights came on, that kind of thing. But otherwise, you were outside practically all the time. Now, are we being too nostalgic? Was that really all that great?
Well, I think that it really forced children to rely on their imaginations. It also forced them to discover what was interesting in the world immediately outside their doors. That dirty old irrigation ditch also had crawdads in it. It had frogs in it. Mm-hmm. There were all kinds of wild plants, wild edible plants that grew along it. We picked plums off the trees and ate them. There was a lot of value in that. I have this very large set of rich memories and experiences with that environment. And I don't think you can quite match that if all you're doing is playing on a plastic playground set aside for you at a park.
Nick on Facebook says, I guess this is his solution, keep your children unplugged. Lead by example. So is that part of the solution, that parents have to lead by example?
I think so. If you don't want to go outside, then why should they want necessarily to go outside? If you're always buried in Facebook, then that's what they're going to think is appropriate.
Yeah.
Not that I think Facebook is necessarily a bad thing, but there's also a whole world outside that you're not going to experience when all that you're experiencing is between yourself and a screen.
Yeah, but you also you conclude at least that for now the indoor kid playing video games has won the day.
Well, I don't see a whole lot of parents feeling comfortable letting their kids loose, and I can certainly understand that. But it's also a little disheartening. I live across the street from 1,000 acres of parkland, and in the course of 14 years living across that 1,000 acres of parkland, I've seen precisely one unaccompanied child playing in the river that's down at the bottom of the hill from here. One. And when I was a kid, you would have seen far more, and on a regular basis. And I more or less take for granted that the only children I see in that park are going to be accompanied.
Yeah. Well, at least for now is the conclusion. Are you optimistic that we're going to, get kids outside again in the future? Maybe not the near term, but at some point.
I don't know. I hope so. I hope that children will discover that there are, in fact, really interesting things out there. And I think the schools are working very hard at trying to provide children at least some of that education. I know the schools here in Ames, Iowa regularly do outside programming, and I hope that that will lure a few more to actually go and look and be connected with something outside.
Yeah. Jim from Minnesota says that this is a bigger problem than most people realize. He thinks what is causing the problem is kids spending a lot of time on the computers and parents not paying attention to their children because they have to work two jobs. So, I don't know, is there anything to that the economy is playing into this?
Well, I think there is something in that. During my childhood, if the children were outside unsupervised playing, there were at least adult ears that knew what was going on. Or even in 1900, when children were playing on the street in New York City, there were always adults who could see and hear what was going on. And now with mom and dad both working so many hours, there are far fewer adult eyes and ears trained on what's going on outside.
Yeah. And I'm wondering too, is there a dwindling supply of nature to be explored?
Well, that is true. 50 years ago, 100 years ago, there was a lot of what some scholars have called urban wild land available within suburbs and cities. I know some municipalities have tried to preserve some of that, but it's generally very well manicured sort of lanes of parkland going through development, as opposed to just plain open space that used to exist.
Yeah. And I know that you also explore in your book the worry that kids' only exposure to nature now will be, you know, like zoos or thrilling, you know, adventures, while they're the more ordinary day-to-day intimacy with nature will fade. Is there any way to fix that?
That's a really difficult one because, of course, zoos and television rely on these really magnificent creatures to pique the interest of children, really exotic creatures. And I would like it if kids were just as interested in squirrels and rabbits as they are in penguins and African lions. But that may be a little bit harder to accomplish.
Yeah. You know, I was delighted and surprised this morning. Seriously, I stepped outside. It was dark, 4 o'clock in the morning. And a coyote ran across our street in the middle of Madison. And so maybe nature will meet us in the cities?
Well, nature is meeting us in the cities. there are more deer and more coyotes and more raccoons living in close proximity to cities than there probably have been at any time in our history. And, yeah, they may very well come to meet us.
Yeah. Well, based on your research, parents listening right now, grandparents concerned about kids today, what would you like to leave them with?
I'd like to leave them with the idea that it's important to rethink just exactly how dangerous it is outside, and are we depriving them of something they would really enjoy, something that they could really benefit from, on the basis of misplaced fears.
Thank you.
I can't prescribe for parents, but I want them to think about that.
And we will. Thanks very much for being with us.
Oh, you are welcome.
Pamela Reine Kerberg is the author of The Nature of Childhood, an Environmental History of Growing Up in America Since 1865. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Joining me is John Munson because we are in our Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Membership Drive. Your gift right now is so important. It keeps programs like this one going strong. Invest in your future listening with a gift of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, Joy, we still have that dollar-for-dollar matching effect from Gene and Joe Silverberg and an anonymous donor, so your gift right now of $50 turns into $100, $100 turns into $200. Well, just take whatever your pledge is, multiply by two, and that's how much we get. Take advantage of this match. Double your support for WPR programs when you give right now at WPR.org. We're at 888-202-2552.
Well, I certainly hope you enjoyed our conversation talking about children and nature and why parents today don't tell kids to go outside and play and what we might do about that. This hour is an example of the informative and interesting conversations that we have on this show every day.
I was listening in Pledge Central, and I was remembering my mother telling me to go out and play in the traffic when I was little.
Oh, no.
I'll take a few minutes to make this hour and many more hours possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you. Then make your pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Consider sharing your appreciation of the lifelong learning that you get from WPR by making a leadership gift of $100 a month. Your gift of $1,200 for the year will provide an important piece of funding for the programs you rely on.
But know this, a gift of any amount is welcome right now, and it's being doubled during our match at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Right now, Wisconsin Public Radio is my wake-up in the morning. Joy Cardine takes me to work in the morning. It kind of gets me revved up if she's talking about an issue I'm passionate about. It gets me ready to go in the morning. And then on the way home, I'm really getting to like Central Time, and that takes me home at night. Honestly, I was listening to the WPR, I think it was the fall membership drive when I joined, and it was during Joy Cardine's show. I was on my way into work, and I was listening to these stories from other listeners, and I thought, you know, that should be me. I should be doing the same thing. As soon as I got into work, I got on the website and I contributed. I'm Bridget from Oak Creek, Wisconsin. I enjoy being a WPR sustainer, and I think you will too.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your pledge during this spring membership drive. Joy Cardine with John Munson asking for your support, your gift of any amount. Maybe it's $10 a month or $15 a month. You choose the amount and go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And it just takes a couple of minutes of your time. All we need is your name, some contact information, preferably yours, how much you want to give, and how you'd like to pay it. And you can give in one lump sum, or better yet, become a monthly sustainer. But no matter how you choose to give or how much you give, use the next few minutes to support the station you count on. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Boy, I can't believe that we still have that dollar-for-dollar match up to $3,000 in effect right now.
It's one of life's great mysteries.
It is. So, you know, we have a couple more minutes left in this hour, a couple of more minutes for you to double your pledge. It's a great time to pledge because for every dollar you give, Gene and Joe Silverberg and an anonymous donor will donate an additional dollar. It's their way of inspiring you to support WPR. You can go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to double the impact of your pledge right now.
Never a better time to become a new member than right now during our match. Pledge drives are important because there are times when we hear from new members. And my question to you this morning is, are you a member yet?
Well, if you aren't, take that step now by making a gift of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Maybe that first-time gift will be $5 a month. When you do that step, you make Wisconsin Public Radio programs that you count on every day possible.
And remember, we have that dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now, up to $3,000, still a little money left on the table. Don't let that get away. Make your pledge right now. Get it doubled at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your support of WPR goes twice as far.
Thanks to Susan from Oconomowoc, who says, Wisconsin Public Radio is my favorite station to listen to. I learn something new every day. Join the crowd, Susan. I learn something new every day hosting this program. And I think this is a service that is worthy of your support. This service would not be here without your contributions. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Remember to ask for your artist mug with your pledge of $150 or more, just $12.50 a month. And make that pledge now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Well, I am happy to report that we have now met that $3,000 dollar-for-dollar match. Thank you so much for your support. Thanks if you are already a member of Wisconsin Public Radio. If not, still time, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Joy Cardine with John Munson. This is the Ideas Network.